Thank you so much for being here this evening. We really do appreciate your presence. I've really enjoyed being with you this week. I know it's been a long week for a lot of folks. There's been a lot of, someone said tonight that every day this week it seemed like Sunday. We've met in the morning, we've met in the evening, every day. But I must say to you, it's been a great week for me. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be with you. I've made a lot of new friends. You've been great. Appreciate so much all of your hospitality. It's been really good. I've had a... It speaks well of you that everyone has communicated so well. I don't think we've had anything twice. I've been to congregations and meetings where you had chicken casserole every night, you know. Same thing, every night. But obviously, ladies never did talk to each other. But you communicated well, and that speaks well of you there. But you've had me in your home, you've taken me out. I appreciate it so, so very, very much. You've been so kind. My daughter, who had surgery this week, dental surgery, she's able to be here tonight. And I want to thank her and her husband, Aaron, and my grandson for putting up with my wife and I this week. And actually 2 weeks. We've been in town for 2 weeks in meetings. And they're ready for us to go home. But I appreciate very much them putting up with us. I told my daughter that she was wanting to move to Athens. And I said, well, I'm in Athens a whole lot preaching. And I said, you might regret that. So we'll see. But appreciate them very much for putting up with us. I've really enjoyed being with Steve this week. And it's right here, Steve. Where's it going to stay, bro? Steve's a good man. Appreciate him very, very much. He's got a great wife. Appreciate her. Appreciate their love for truth. And I know you're pleased to have him here with you, and he is pleased to be here with you, and that makes for a great working relationship. Appreciate the elders. Appreciate them inviting me to come and to be here this week. Looking forward to, hopefully in the future, we'll be together again at some point. We've been studying all this week in the evenings about the Word of His grace. And we've been using the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 32 as our theme text. It's a beautiful text. It says, I now commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And what we've been trying to do, I've been trying to take a portion of that passage and talk to you a little bit about God's grace. And if you've been paying attention, the only part that we've not covered is the inheritance part. But we're not going to talk about that. And really, it's come down to two lessons that I wanted to talk to you about. And I chose another lesson. So we'll just have to come back another time and talk about inheritance. But I thought it would be better to end the lesson, to end the week, talking about really kind of the whole passage as a whole. And so I thought about what lesson would best help us to understand what that whole verse said. That's what I want to study with you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. And I want us to begin reading at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. He kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet and anointing them with a perfume. And when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." And those who were reclining at table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I give as a title to this particular section, "Forgiven Much." When I read Acts 20, this is the story I think about. When it is Paul who told the Ephesian elders at Miletus, he says, "And now I commend you to God." This is that God. "And to the word of His grace," here's grace, "which is able to build you up." He must have made that lady's day that day. "And to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That day, she was made holy. Thus has the hope of an inheritance. This is a great story. Let's see why the Holy Spirit put it in the book for us. When you look at this particular story, indeed, a great story, but when you look at the Bible and you study the Bible, you will run across these passages and you will notice that there was a similar type story. And Jesus is anointed with expensive perfume and by a woman in Bethany who wiped his feet with her hair, as John relates. And the anointing takes place also in the house of a man named Simon. And what is interesting, when you compare the two stories, there is Simon the Pharisee in our story for tonight, and then the Simon the leper in the other story. The woman at Bethany, she is not spoken of as a sinful woman, but she appears to be Mary, Lazarus' sister. And as you go ahead and read, you find that this anointing at Bethany was to prepare Jesus Christ for His burial. What is interesting, the criticism by the disciples, Judas specifically, over the value of the perfume that is wasted, rather than the criticism of the morals of the woman in Luke's account tonight during the anointing. Now, I said all that to say this to you. Many times when you read the Bible, sometimes some stories kind of overlap. And it seems like it may be a continuation. I think these are two different stories. And when you look at this particular story, you find that the characters, indeed, there is a man, a Pharisee, who is called Simon. The text identifies him. And there is Jesus Christ, who is also the main character, and then this woman, who is a sinner. And traditionally, when you do some research and study into this particular passage, there are those who claim that this particular woman was Mary Magdalene. And I will say to you that I myself consider that to be a character assassination. That there is absolutely zero in the context that bears out that this is Mary Magdalene. The word sinner there is even somewhat of a difficult term. And if you search the scripture and you look at it, even in side margins of some English translations, it will mention the fact that she was an immoral woman. Well, that word that is used in the original language is used in several different ways, and one of which is in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. Luke 5 and verse 8, this word occurs. And the text says, "But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" I don't think Peter was a prostitute. Now, you might do some more research into that and disprove what I just said. I would encourage you to do that research, and if you find something different, please let me know about that. I said all of that to say this. When you look at this story, I don't know what this woman's sin was. But even Jesus said, "Her sins, which are many." That is the key. This woman is indeed a sinner. We'll have more to say about the many versus the less sins, or those that sin little, at the end of the lesson. What I'd like us to learn from this particular passage is that this woman indeed was a humble lady. Notice verse 38. "And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume." Now, when you look at this idea that she's weeping, if I can set the scene for you a little bit, it was most usual. This Pharisee would have more than likely been a wealthy man. His house arrangement would have more than likely involved having an inner court that may or may not have been open, but an area to where they could have gathered, and the tables that would have been set would have been in such a way that they would have reclined. And as they would recline, there were different places for the more elite, and there were places for those who were of lesser position. And the Pharisee, it seems from his conversation, and Jesus' conversation with him, didn't invite Jesus because he was interested in truth. He more than likely invited Jesus as a show, as a pretend, as a social thing. Jesus was very popular. And there were many Pharisees that were beginning to believe in him. So the politically right thing to do at that particular point in time would be to have one that is in the news all the time. And so he did. He invited him over. And there is this banquet, there is this dinner, there is this feast. Now, it is obvious from the text that this woman is not invited. And what is pretty interesting is you go back and read historically concerning customs and so forth of the first century, is that it would not have been unusual for this particular setting for people to have been coming in and going out, and yet even people coming to the house and just standing around uninvited, but watching. And so somehow or another, this woman knows Jesus is invited here. She wants an audience with him. She's not interested in the Pharisee. She's not interested in all the hoopla. She's not even interested in the filet mignon or whatever they're going to eat. Okay? I'm not going to eat filet mignon. Anyway. So they come, she comes to this house, she begins weeping. Simon doesn't even notice her. Right. He notices her. But he ignores her. Now, when they're reclining, likened to the Romans, they would lay down on their sides and they would face toward the table and they would eat. This woman comes up from behind him at his feet. The absolute most humble way that she could come in and intrude to a place where she's not invited and not welcome. She's at his feet. She's weeping. And she begins to wet his feet with her tears. She takes her hair. And for her to release her hair, for her to be uncovered, and to take her hair and to begin to dry his feet was a very outward thing to do. But she had zero concern about what anybody was thinking, about what anybody thought, what was politically correct, what was customarily incorrect. She had one particular thought in mind. Her sins and the Lord. She takes her hair and she begins to wipe his feet. She starts kissing his feet. The ultimate of humility. Kissing someone's feet. Then she takes this perfume, this alabaster vial. Alabaster, even then, was expensive. It was rock, stone, and carved out of this rock, a vial. And then the ingredients put in this vial, buried, and in time, produces a perfume. Very expensive. Very expensive. She takes this. So she's not necessarily a poor person. She's able to buy this alabaster vial of perfume. And she takes this. And she pours it upon his feet. Now, this perfume would have been very strong. It would have been very concentrated. And when she poured it upon his feet, my guess is everyone in the house smelled it. Everyone standing up next to the house smelled it. Everybody that was passing by on the street smelled the perfume. It was very, very strong. Simon the Pharisee, he sees this. And he has an evil thought. Verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, in other words, he thought it, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Notice, if he is a prophet, this man, this Pharisee, Simon, he's not a believer. And he thinks this thought that he's thinking a lot less of Jesus. Maybe he is a prophet. Maybe I'll have him into my home. Maybe it'll be I'll get a big page in the society page of, you know, doing some big fanciful thing, inviting the rabbi, the new up-and-coming Jesus, to my home. And then this woman shows up, and he says, well, if he were who he says he is, he would certainly not be doing this. I want to just step aside just for a moment, purposely, for us to see something. This position that Simon is occupying is called religious snobbery. It is called self-righteous, too big for your britches. Because he was looking down his nose at this sinner. And he had contempt for Jesus for having anything to do with her or to allow this woman to have anything to do with him. There is a warning in there for us, brother and sister in Christ, about how we view others. This self-righteousness reminds us a whole lot of another passage of Scripture that you might recall in the book of Luke, chapter 18. And you remember there in that particular text, these two men that Jesus talks about? In Luke 18 and verse 9, he tells a parable of two men that went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax gatherer. And I fast twice a week and I pay tithes of all that I get. Met that kind of Christian? The kind of Christian that's all about telling everybody about everything that they're about. And while we do not wear the phylacteries, and we do not wear the robes, and we do not parade ourselves around in this kind of pontiff way, but we do. We can. And it's wrong. And especially that we would put down someone else. And it is this tax gatherer standing some distance away was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven. But he was beating his breast saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now listen to what Jesus said. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled. But he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Simon, the Pharisee, was full of himself. He was not very grateful for the grace of God. Jesus tells Simon a story. And Jesus took the opportunity to teach Simon a lesson. And there is a lesson for us. He talks about a moneylender. And this moneylender had given out money, and one owed 500 denarii, and one owed 50. And the text says that neither of the ones that owed could repay, and the moneylender forgave them both. Now Jesus just simply asked the question, which loved the lender most? Now, when I read that, and I already know the end of the story, you get the feeling that it might be a trick question. And it was. It was so easy to answer that it was just our host tonight asked my wife how you pronounce the capital of Kentucky, Louisville or Louisville. And my wife replied, Louisville. And he says, no, it's called Frankfurt. And my wife went, oh, I knew that. I knew that. I thought she would get it too, but she didn't. But you ever been asked a trick question? And after you say the answer and you think you're so smart, then you wind up being not so smart? Jesus asked this guy a question. Who loved the lender the most? Now, based upon what he answered, well, I guess the one that was forgiven the most, Jesus said, you are absolutely correct, Simon. Good job. You answered correctly. Now I want you to notice the application the Lord made of this. This is awesome. Now remember the scene. Here in this house, somehow or another, these tables, this table, or tables, and these lounge chairs, they were looking in to the food. This woman's behind him. Now notice what the text says. Jesus, while looking at the woman, so if he's laying this way, looking in, the woman's behind him, he's turning and he looks at this woman. He knows she's there. But then he speaks to Simon. For the Paul's here tonight. One way to make some very obvious pointed points to someone, we might say, hey, Paul, you see this young boy sitting over here? Now, that's a little bit irritating when you talk to somebody and you don't look at them. If you really want to really get it and get to somebody, go stand up to them and start talking to them and just look at their shoulder the whole time. Just look at their shoulder and just keep talking to them. You will drive them just fruity nuts. I mean, it's crazy. You know, what are you looking at? You know. Okay? All right. Jesus is looking at the woman talking to Simon. Okay? Now, Jesus gets very pointed. Do you see this woman? Had Simon seen this woman? Yes. Was he recognizing this woman? No. What was he doing? He was religiously got his nose stuck up in the air, and if it started to rain, he would have drowned. He was being very prejudicial. He was being ugly to this woman. And it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who says, do you see this woman? He then says, you have given no water for my feet. Now, what did that have to do with anything? Jesus is an invited guest of Simon. Culturally, customarily, and what was even politically correct. You come to visit someone's home, you provide them water so as to wash the dust off their feet. I tell you, maybe in this country we don't understand that, we don't think about that, but if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, you'll find out real quick, it's really dusty there. It's really dirty. Everywhere you go, it's dusty and dirty. And I doubt very seriously it's changed much in 2,000 years. So they wore sandals. You walk out, going to place, your feet are going to be dirty. So what happens? Well, you need to wash your feet. So it's a whole new twist on, before you sit down to eat, Junior, wash your feet. You know, that was supposed to be funny. Okay. Anyway. But Jesus says, you didn't give me any water for my feet. But then he says, she has wet my feet with her tears. My guess is about this point. I don't know how much commotion. I don't know how much talking. I don't know how much everybody was talking to anybody else. My guess is that it started getting a little bit quiet in the room. The next thing that Jesus says, you gave me no kiss. Jesus comes as an invited guest to a leading religious official, a Pharisee. And Jesus was not even welcomed with the common courtesy of a kiss to welcome him. Jesus said, she continually kisses my feet. My guess is about this time, Simon the Pharisee is in his mind saying, rut-row, I'm in trouble. I've made a mistake. You did not anoint my head with oil. Again, common courtesy. Hot, dusty, dirty. Oil to refresh, to make you smell good. Very common courtesy. The Pharisee didn't do that. She's anointing my feet with perfume. Something vastly more expensive and sacrificial. Simon's getting the point. He knows he is the target now, not this woman. Jesus talks about her sins being forgiven. And people around hear him say this. And they want to know, who is this man who even forgives sins? Now, to forgive sins is only in the place of God. Jesus, in that moment, he just kind of took over the whole situation. Simon had him, for whatever reasons, maybe to make fun of him. He had already been very rude to Jesus, but not offering unto him any of those things that he should have. And Jesus plays along to a point. When Simon then became so discourteous to this woman, God answers. God speaks. In the end of the text, it is Jesus who says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus does say that she has many sins. But he says, your faith has saved you. What did she do? What did she do? Faith is based upon hearing something. What did she hear? She obviously knew something about Jesus. She knew something about herself. And she knew that if she went to Jesus, that He could do something for her. What? Pay her rent? No. What she needed was, she knew she was a sinner. She knew that Jesus was the Savior. She went to Him that He might forgive her. Yes, Jesus knew her heart. But through her actions, she was repenting. She was very publicly, unashamedly confessing Jesus as the Son of God in her actions. She knew that she was in a place where she was not welcome. She knew that she was in a place that people would speak bad of her. She didn't care. She came forward anyway. And she sat on the front row, as it were. And she cried. And she sacrificed. And she gave every indication that she was repentant. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Faith is an action. Faith is what you do. When you think about this particular story, I think it's important for us to understand something as well. How much have you been forgiven? Remember, Jesus used the story of the man that only owed 50 and the man that owed 500. How much do you think Simon thought he owed? How much do you think Simon thought the woman owed? How much do you think you owe? The point of the lesson? We all owe more than 500. Now, who is it that loves most? And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. What have we been talking about this week? We're talking about how loving and kind God is. We're talking about grace and what it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We talked about how that God can save us and will save us if we have faith in Him and trust in Him and obey Him and come to Him. Can you not see Acts 20 verse 32 in this story? The whole passage is right there. Now, we read this story and we looked at this story for a concluding thought of this series of lessons. Who are you in this story? Well, we can eliminate Jesus. We're none of us Jesus. That leaves two characters. Brother and sister, may I encourage us all to make absolutely, positively, 100% for sure that we are not Simon the Pharisee. If we are saved by the great and awesome grace of God, we should be thankful. But let's be very careful about how we look at those that we perceive to be sinners. If you are in this audience tonight and you perceive yourself to be as this woman, a sinner, and your sins are many, don't worry about the Pharisees. Don't worry about anything else that's going on. Just focus on Jesus. Do what He commands you to do and very humbly go to Him. And if you obey His will, He'll forgive you. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. Jesus said, if you believe that I am, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You're going to have to come to Jesus just like that woman did. If she had stayed home, if she had not sought the Lord, she may not have ever been forgiven. You need to come to the Lord. Is there someone here tonight that is this woman? Why not come to the one that forgives much? You've listened so well this week, and I thank you so very, very much. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is a very, very solemn and important thing to do. I take that very seriously. And I will stand before God and give an account of each and every word that I've spoken. We will all stand before the great Jesus Christ and give an account of every deed done in the body, whether good or bad. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I hope and pray that you are. But if we can help you in any way, remember, I commend you to God and the word of His grace. Together we stand and sing.